Them. He heard the patrol long before he saw it. How long could someone not hear that clanking of armor, not feel that clatter of feet on the cobblestones? He froze, standing with his back to the earthen wall bordering the street, watching for the patrol. They bore a torch. To Spook's enhanced eyes, it looked like a blazing beacon of near-blinding brilliance. The torch marked them as fools. Its light wouldn't help, just the reverse. The light reflected off the mists, enveloping the guards in a little bubble of light that ruined their night vision. Spook stayed where he was, motionless. The patrol clanked forward, moving down the street. They passed within a few feet of him, but didn't notice him standing there. There was something invigorating about being able to watch, feeling at once completely exposed and perfectly unseen. It made him wonder why the new Erto government even bothered with patrols. Of course, the government's Ska officials would have very little experience with the mists. As the guard patrol disappeared around a corner, bearing their glaring torch with them, Spook turned back to his task. The citizen would be meeting with his aides this night if his schedule held. Spook intended to listen in on that conversation. He moved carefully down the street. No city could compare with Luthadel in sheer size, but Urto made a respectable effort. As the hereditary home of the Venture Line, it had once been a much more important and well-maintained city than it was now. That decline had begun even before the death of the Lord Ruler. The most obvious sign of that was the roadway Spook now walked on. Once, the city had been crisscrossed with canals that had functioned as watery streets. Those canals had gone dry some time ago, leaving the city crossed by deep, dusty troughs that grew muddy when it rained. Rather than filling them in, the people had simply begun to use the empty bottoms as roads. The street Spook now used had once been a wide waterway capable of accommodating even large barges. 10-foot-high walls rose on either side of the sunken street, and buildings loomed above, built up against the lip of the canal. Nobody had been able to give Spook a definite or consistent answer as to why the canals had emptied. Some blamed earthquakes, others blamed droughts. The fact remained, however, that in the 100 years since the canals had lost their water, nobody had found an economical way to refill them. And so Spook continued down the street, feeling like he was walking in a deep slot. Numerous ladders and the occasional ramp or flight of stairs led up to the sidewalks and the buildings above, but few people ever walked up there. The street slots, as the city's residents called them, had simply become normal. Spook caught a scent of smoke as he walked. He glanced up and noted a gap in the horizon of buildings. Recently, a building on this street had been burned to the ground, the house of a nobleman. His sense of smell, like his other senses, was incredibly sensitive. So it was possible that he was smelling smoke from long ago when buildings had burned during the initial rampages following Straff Venture's death. And yet, the scent seemed too strong for that. Too recent. Spook hurried on. Urto was dying slowly, decaying, and a lot of the blame could be placed on its ruler, the citizen. Long ago, Elend had given a speech to the people of Luthadel. It had been the night when the Lord Ruler had died, the night of Kelsier's rebellion. Spook remembered Elend's words well, for the man had spoken of hatred, rebellion, and the dangers associated with them. He'd warned that if the people founded their new government on hatred and bloodshed, it would consume itself with fear, jealousy, and chaos. Spook had been in that audience listening. He now saw that Elend was right. The Ska of Urto had overthrown their noble rulers, and in a way, Spook was proud of them for doing so. He felt a growing fondness for the city, partially because of how devoutly they tried to follow what the survivor had taught. Yet their rebellion hadn't stopped with the ousting of the nobility. As Elend had predicted, the city had become a place of fear and death. The question was not why it had happened, but how to stop it. For now, that wasn't Spook's job. He was just supposed to gather information. Only familiarity, gained during weeks spent investigating the city, let him know when he was getting close, for it was frustratingly difficult to keep track of where one was down in the street slots. At first, he had tried to stay out of them, slipping through smaller alleyways above. Unfortunately, the slots networked the entire city, and he'd wasted so much time going up and down that he'd eventually realized that the slots really were the only viable way of getting around. Unless one were Mistborn, of course. Unfortunately, Spook couldn't hop from building to building on lines of allomantic power. He was stuck in the slots. He made the best of it. He picked a ladder and swung onto it, climbing up. Though he wore leather gloves, he could feel the grain of the wood. Up top, there was a small sidewalk running along the street slot. An alleyway extended ahead of him, leading into a cluster of houses. A building at the end of the small street was his goal, but he did not move toward it. Instead, he waited quietly, searching for the signs he knew were there. Sure enough, he caught a rustling motion in a window a few buildings down. His ears caught the sound of footsteps in another building. The street ahead of him was being watched. Spook turned aside. While the sentries were very careful to watch the alleyway, they unintentionally left another avenue open. Their own buildings. Spook crept to the right, moving on feet that could feel each pebble beneath them, listening with ears that could hear a man's increased breathing as he spotted something unusual. He rounded the outside of a building, turning away from the watchful eyes and entering a dead-end alleyway on the other side. There he lay a hand against the wall of the building. There were vibrations inside the room. It was occupied, so he moved on. The next room alerted him immediately as he heard whispered voices inside. The third room, however, gave him nothing. No vibrations of motion, no whispers, not even the muted thudding of a heartbeat, something he could sometimes hear if the air were still enough. Taking a deep breath, Spook quietly worked open the window lock and slipped inside. It was a sleeping chamber, empty as he'd anticipated. He'd never come through this particular room before. His heart thumped as he closed the shutters, then slipped across the floor,